We are talking about the inner man in this series. And we're breaking it down to all the amazing things that God did the moment you were saved. And then the transformation, the part where you transform yourself out of living from your old man, the outward man, and beginning to live out of the inward man, who Christ made you and who you mature and develop into all that God has for you. That's a hopeful statement, because that means it doesn't matter how messed up you were in your past or how messed up your family is or what you were born with or not born with. You, in your inner man, have been born of Christ, of God, with God being your Father. You have full potential. No one has more of God than you have. You have full potential to walk in all that God has for you, irregardless of your past, your mistakes, your shortcomings in the natural man. So I'm excited. It's a wonderful thing to be teaching on this subject. And we're going to zoom in again today, continue on the new nature. We've discussed in past lessons different words that the scripture uses for the new nature. And today we're going to look at the word image. The word image, when you see the word image in your New Testament, it almost always is referring to the image of Christ that's in the new nature. And just a little pass and review. When you're born again, God took the old nature of Adam out of you and planted a seed, the seed of Christ, the nature of Christ in you. When I was young, I used to sing, I got Jesus in my heart, and I had a little Jesus running around, but now I realize I don't have an actual Jesus living in me, but God gave me his nature, the nature of Christ. The nature of Christ is the smallest part of you, but it's the most powerful and important part of your salvation. It's what makes you righteous. It's what makes you born again. Now, one of the words within the new nature terminology is image. The image, and when you see the word image, almost always in the New Testament, almost always it's referring to that image of Christ that's in the new nature. So the new nature is like a seed, and in every seed, if you plant it in the ground, it forms whatever is in it. So some seeds look alike. Some vegetable seed looks just like another vegetable seed, and you have to plant it before you can see what's in it. But that was always in it. You're never surprised when you know what's in it. If I get an apple seed and plant it, I know I'm going to get an apple tree. And if I get a carrot seed and plant it, I know I'm going to get a carrot. And every seed, inside of that seed is an image of where it came from, an image of where it's going to go. If it grows and matures, it will build where it came from, none diminished. In other words, it's not lesser, it's the same as. And so you, in our story as being a Christian, you receive the seed of Christ in your new man, inner man, meaning you have the potential to walk with God, to hear God, to know God the same way Jesus did, to walk in holiness and maturity the same way Jesus did. But it's only a potential. Now, some believers believe you receive everything complete. So their theology is, I'm born again. I'm now fully complete in the Spirit. And all I have to do is accept who I am and change my thinking to think like who I am. And there's half of that is really incredible truth. But the other half is going to stop you from growing up. And so, you know, many people say, I just need to, you need to quit praying so much. You need to quit worshiping so much. You just need to accept who you are, yield over to it, receive it by faith, and then you have it all. You already have it all now. You just need to think differently or be bolder. And if you look at their life, they hit a ceiling where they stop growing. All those people who believe that, they hit a ceiling where they don't see miracles above a certain amount. They don't see love above a certain amount, so they build their church there. That's the ceiling of the church. They form a church, and that's where they live. The sick people, they bless them quick, and then they hide them in the back room. Or really broken people just don't attend their churches because they don't see the results. somewhere along the lines, you get hungry and honest and you say, okay, maybe that's not the full gospel. Obviously, I don't have it all now because I can get this person healed, but this really broken person, I can't seem to help. I pray for them. They've been in my church for 20 years and they can't get healed. So there must be more. Well, welcome to the message of the walk of the Spirit. As soon as you start hungering for more, then you'll start looking for where can I change? Where can I develop so God could do more? And that's all in the picture of the inner man and outer man. That's what I've been trying to tell you. One of the words that we're going to look at today, we're going to study a difficult imagery today and try to do it as simple as possible about the word image. Inside of every seed, there's an invisible image, a picture of what that seed came from and what that seed will build, form, if you give it the nutrients. You take an apple seed, it came from an apple tree. And so that tree is in the seed. The image of that tree, fully mature, is in the seed. And now if I plant it, then it will develop and grow where it came from. That image is already in the seed. Well, when you were born again, you receive the new nature, and that new nature is like a seed. And inside of that seed is an image of a fully mature Jesus in all of his love, all of his wisdom, and all of his holiness. It's all in that image of the seed. But it's trapped in that seed, and it must break out. The outer shell must be broken before the image could come forward. And that's a great image of the inner man and outward man. You got to break the outward man so the image of the inner man could come forward. But it's only an image. It's not, you're not living in that yet. And so the responsibility of a believer in Paul's writings, you'll discover this all through Paul's writing, is to mature, mature in knowledge, mature in love, to grow. Well, how does that happen? Well, already instantly, the moment you're saved, that old nature of sin was quickened, meaning in an instant, darkness was turned into light. And now you have a seed, an image of Christ already in you, but it couldn't work in your outward man, so God planted it in your inner man. And now your inner man is also quickened. It's born again. It's like a little baby. It has the ability to receive all the fruit of that mature tree, the fruit of love, joy, peace, the fruit of wisdom, all those fruits that come from Jesus, that seed of Christ in you, is received by the inner man, not the outward man. So we're going to go into this today. We're looking at the word image, one of the words that the scripture uses to describe the new nature. And the image is the picture of Christ inside of that new nature. Okay, and that's in your inner man. That's your new nature. It already has the image of Christ fully complete. It doesn't grow. It doesn't mature. It's a seed. Maturity is in the inner man from the seed. So let's look at a couple difficult verses today, a difficult imagery to discover. Let's start in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We'll read verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, when you read in the face of Jesus, underline face. So here is a picture that Paul's writing. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That is talking about your salvation. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So imagine a beautiful picture of Jesus' face. Okay, an image of Jesus' face. Now we're going to underline face because that's going to bring in context this whole scripture. Now we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul begins to badmouth the Old Testament. And not in like a belittling of the Old Testament, but of its job is not to teach you, the New Testament saint, how to walk with God. The Old Testament was complete when Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished," meaning I've finished the Old Covenant. I have sealed it. It's done. I've fulfilled every law, every requirement. I, Jesus, fulfilled it. It is finished. It now has no more ability to instruct you how to live with Christ. The whole Old Testament should only be looked at through the eyes, through glasses of Jesus. Like, what is this telling me about Jesus? Because once Jesus died on the cross, the Old Testament became, as it says in Hebrews, obsolete. It finished its job. So Paul calls it the letter kills. So if you tried to follow God through external laws and try to be a Christian by willpower, by external laws, I'm going to be like that, I'm going to act like that, those kind of laws kill. But the Spirit gives life. This is talking about that new nature. That new nature gives life. You've been given life with the Ten Commandments written inside of them. Not on the outside, trying to obey something on the outside, but you now have those same commandments written in your heart, in your spirit man, in the inner man. It's already written. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, there it is, the Ten Commandments, he's bad-mouthing those Ten Commandments. And the reason is because there were some preachers that came into the church here when he was out of town, of course, and tried to introduce all these new laws to the Gentile Christians. And Paul is correcting it and trying to get all that junk out of the church. But if the ministry of death, written on and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. I want you to underline the word face of Moses. And now you can draw a line between this verse and chapter 4, verse 6, where it says the face of Jesus. And see, the face of Moses was glory, had glory on it, where the people couldn't look at it because of his moment with God on the mountain. But God did not want them looking at Moses in that condition, because the law wasn't there to tell them how to live with God for eternity. The law, the Ten Commandments, was there to point them to Jesus. Okay, where you can get the Ten Commandments written in your heart, and now it's who you are. So there's a contrast here between the face of Moses and the face of Jesus. Now, where do we find the face of Moses? It's on the law, the Ten Commandments. And look what it says. Verse 7 again. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. So even the glory that was available and seen and felt in the Old Testament, it was passing away, because that was not the purpose. It was not to train people, this is how you walk with God for eternity. It was there to help them to bring Jesus legally to the earth so he can die and be resurrected, and we could be resurrected by that same nature. That's why we want to be looking at the face of Jesus and not the face of Moses. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So if there was glory in the Old Covenant with unsaved, unborn-again people, how much glory is available for us who have the nature of God in us? That's what the word Spirit means in these verses, the new nature. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, again, he's bad-mouthing that Old Testament, If the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So if the old covenant, walking with God as non-born again people, had glory available, how much more glory is available for us who are actually born with that covenant written in our heart? So much of the church world, let me pause here and preach a little bit. So much of the modern church is trapped in a carnal Christianity, and they don't even know it. And they're living a life of doing their best to serve God. They'll get to heaven, but they're missing out on experiencing the true glory that's available. And that true glory is not available. It's not from the outside in. It's not a glory cloud, an open heaven, angel dust, angel feathers, gems. It's glory that comes from within. It's in you and comes out of you. And we're going to see that right here. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Verse 9. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. So in other words, the glory of the new nature, the new covenant, outshines the glory of the old covenant so much that you can't even see it. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, now here's Moses again. Remember, there's a comparison in these verses between the face of Moses, looking at the face of Moses versus looking at the face of Jesus. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So the reason why God had him put a veil over his face wasn't because they couldn't really handle it, but because God did not want the people of Israel looking at the glory of what was from the old covenant as their destiny with God. They want them looking forward to a Savior, not looking backwards at Moses in the Old Covenant. And the same thing for you. So he put a veil, verse 13, unlike Moses, he put a veil over his face so the children of God could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. In other words, I don't want you to look here for me, God was saying. This was from me, but this is not what I want you to look at. I want you to look for a Savior to come. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. See, when you're born again, there's no veil. You're able to understand and know God very plainly in all of God. God will keep no secrets from you. It's all available for you as a born-again child of God through the inner man because of that new nature. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That word Spirit should be a small s, underlined, that this is talking about the new nature. Even in my Bible, there's a little notation when he uses the Spirit up in verse 6. It says a small s. It can be a big S. Some people think it's a big S. Some people think it's a small s. Well, here he's talking about a small s, the new nature, where the Lord is in the nature. The Lord is the Spirit, the new nature. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the nature of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's okay for churches to say, when we get excited and God's presence, you know, anointing shows up, there's liberty. But really what it's saying is when you got born again, you were liberated. You're liberated from the law, having to live according to the law on the outside, because now you have the law of God on the inside. You're liberated from sin because now you have a nature of righteousness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. So if you're born again, you've been liberated. But we all with unveiled faces. Now here we go. But we all with unveiled face. So you don't have a veil between you now and Jesus. Okay, because the veil's been taken away. Now look what it says. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Now, that word is meaning a mirror. In the New King James, it says mirror. In King James Bible, sometimes it uses a glass darkly. But it's from the word mirror. In other words, I look into a mirror and I see a reflection. So we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So where do we find the glory of the Lord? Where do we find the face of Jesus now that I'm born again? And with unveiled face, my face, I look into a mirror and I see a reflection of myself. So where do I find the face of Jesus now that I'm born again? Do I look up to heaven? Well, that's okay. You can do that too. You can find it in the Word. Yes, you can do that too. But here it says a mirror, that I look into a mirror, the glory of the Lord. I begin to see a reflection on myself. Where is it? It's in your inner man. You are now the temple of God. When God ripped the veil into from the Holy of Holies, when Jesus died, He was saying to the Jewish people, you'll no longer find my presence here in the Holy of Holies because the price has been paid. You'll find my presence within you. You are now the temple, not this stone building. You are the temple of God. For we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Now in the King James it says, change, but if you look in the Greek, we find out it's the same word of metamorphosis, of a transformation, and that's a big difference because change means instantly. I can put on a new coat, I've changed, it takes 5 seconds. Transformation is a more in-depth process, and really, in the context of inner man, outward man, it's a picture of two different species that you're being transformed out of Adam's life. Adam's body, this outward man, and you're transforming and beginning to live and see and feel and think out of your inner man, the part of you that's been born again, that new man. So we'll read the King James, the New King James here. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Then again, the Spirit of the Lord is the nature of Christ in me. So where do I find that face of Jesus? Where do I find that image? There's that word image. Where do I find that image, that picture of Jesus and all of his perfection and maturity, love, joy, peace, kindness, holiness, wisdom? It's already in me. It's that new nature. And now I must transform. And I could say we need to take an apple tree out of this seed. How do I transform an apple tree out of this seed? Well, you need to plant it in the ground and allow it to form that apple tree. Well, how do I transform my life to be like the seed of Christ that's in me? Because I want to be like Jesus. I want to be walk in holiness to the depth that Jesus did. I want to walk in the love that he has, the kindness, the hope, the joy, the peace, the wisdom. How do I build that tree? How do I build, transform Christ, myself into Christ? Well, that's the picture here. It starts with that new nature and the rebirthing of your inner man, your spiritual man, your spiritual being. And it starts with that image inside of you right now. Is the image of Christ. Well, I want to see the face of Jesus, Pastor Allen. How do I focus on and see the face of Jesus? Go find a mirror and look at him. And if you look close enough, you'll see your inner man. Your inner man is inside of your outward man. There was a time where I was a young preacher. We went to Nicaragua. I took a team to Nicaragua to go minister there for about 10 days. And I remember having to drive a little truck through the streets of Managua, with a little lady, a little lady in the back who was giving me instructions on how to get to the church, a little prophetess, an elderly lady, and she was giving me instructions, turn left, turn right. And I'm from Canada. We drove in streets, very simple. This was South American driving or Central America driving, all the same, crazy driving. And people were going all over the place. We got to the church, and there's a little light bulb hanging from a 2x4 because there was no roof on this church. But they were used to it, and I began to preach. And I remember when I preached, the power went out, and they were used to it because they all lit candles. So it was something that happened all the time. And at the end of preaching, this little mama brought a little baby to me to be healed. And she placed that baby in my arms, and I could feel the heat of the fever in that little baby when I prayed. And I prayed all my strength, all my faith to see that baby healed. And I had to put the baby back in the mother's arms without anything significant changing in that moment. Now, I could be a good preacher and say, yeah, the baby got healed later. Or I could be a bad preacher and say, well, the baby didn't get healed because the mom didn't have faith or the baby didn't have faith. But I was disappointed. And I remember going home that night and talking to God and saying, God, I don't get it. I poured every bit of faith I could. I don't blame the mama because I'm representing you, Jesus. I don't blame the baby. I'm the one who should have had the faith to see that baby healed, but I couldn't get it healed. And I said, God, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do? And the Lord used these verses here I'm about to give you to answer that question. He said, well, there's too much of Alan in the way. And I knew instantly what he meant. It wasn't sin. It wasn't smoking or drinking or pornography or any of that stuff. It was that I had too much of Alan. Alan was still alive in my life, his desires, his thoughts. And the verses he used were 1 Corinthians 13. And let's go there. And we're trying to focus on the word image today, that the word image, when you see it, means that in you is an image of Jesus in his full maturity right now if you're born again. It's in your new nature. Inside of the seed of the new nature is an image of Jesus already in you. And so when you want to know God and become like Jesus, it starts with a new nature, growing and maturing that image forward into your inner man. And then you begin to transform to think, feel, and live from that inner man instead of the outward man. For time's sake, we'll start in verse 11, chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But I became a man. I put away childish things. Now, this is the love chapter, chapter 13, where Paul is telling us the more excellent way as a believer to walk with God is to develop the love of God in you. In other words, the amount of the love of Christ that you have developed in you, not the action of love, but the love of Christ that you developed in you, that is the authority that the Holy Ghost can work through you as a believer. Doesn't matter what your calling is. You have access to all of the Holy Spirit, all that He does, every type of miracle, by the love of Christ that's developed in you. If you don't have a lot of love in there of Christ and you're born again, He will use your calling the less excellent way. And then you're limited by your calling and by the gifts that go with the calling. But there's an unlimited path to have access to an unlimited Holy Spirit through the amount of the love of Christ that you develop in you. What's the first fruit of the new nature? Love. That is what will grow in your inner man as you give it the nutrients that it needs. The image of the love of Christ in its fullness is already in the new nature, but it has to grow out of you. So every time you pray in tongues, every time you worship, more of that love of Christ begins to develop and is formed, and eventually you begin to live out of that love instead of your natural love. So Paul is saying, you bunch of children, remember in 1 Corinthians 3, he calls them children, babes. He said, I used to be a babe like you, a child like you. And I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, I thought like a child, just like you did. And he's talking to the preachers in the Corinthian church. But when I became a man, when I matured, when I developed, when I matured into a man, I put away childish things. So the way to put away childish things, like chapter 12 is talking about walking with God through your carnality, the way you put away with it is not by saying it's no longer who I am. You have to grow up your inner man, let it develop and mature. And as it does, you will put away childish things. Too many Christians are trying to do it the opposite way. Stop doing this. Live like this. This is how you do this. Tell me how to act. They're trying to act like adults. Paul's saying, no, the way you get rid of being childish and living in the childish carnal world is grow up. You grow up and you will put away that childish things easily. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, so now as a child, verse 12, we see in a mirror. There's that word mirror again. We see in a mirror. So when you look at a mirror, what do you see? You see a reflection of yourself. And it says the word dimly. So as a child, I look in the mirror and it's dimly. But then, when is then? When I am mature, when I look in the mirror, I no longer see dimly. I'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So right now as a child, I know in part who I am. But when I am face to face and the dimly is gone, then I will see face to face and I'll know who I am. Okay, keep that in mind. That's an important verse there. I'll know who I am. I shall know just as I also am known. So now, as a child, I look in the mirror, and I remember the way the Lord showed me this with a Nicaragua incident, was I look in a mirror, and it's like, well, I can kind of see there's something there behind me, but it's dim, it's foggy. I can kind of see the real me, but there's something in the way. I can't quite get a clear picture. Why is it? Oh, what's in the way from the real me is the outward me, the flesh. There's too much of Alan in the way. I have to get rid and mortify this outward man's deeds, desires, dreams. I have to mortify it, kill it, because it's no longer who I am. That is the process, part of the process of transformation. As I begin to look past, I begin to mortify this flesh which is in the way, causing my mirror, my reflection of the real me, where I find the image of Christ in me face to face, is in that new nature, but I can't see it clearly. I only know a part of it because there's something in the way. That is the flesh, the outward man, the carnal man, the old man. And now my job is not just to say no to the outward man, but also to mortify, put to death the deeds of the outward body. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of thee is love. Love can grow in you. The very love that Jesus had is already in you in seed form, in that image. And as you pray and worship and read your word and spend time with God, obey God, all those things, the love of Christ will actually begin to form in your inner man. And then you can begin to live from that love instead of the love of the outward man. You mortify the outward man. Let's go to one more verse, set of verses here over in Colossians. And we'll kind of see that verse in 1 Corinthians 13 expounded here in chapter 3 of Colossians. And remember, today we're trying to pinpoint the word image. Image as being the picture of Christ in his fullness inside of your new nature. And it has the ability to form Christ in your inner man. His love, his joy, his peace, all these emotions can fruit, will come forward in your inner man. As you allow the inner man to mature, you'll begin to see that Christ come forward in your life. And where do I find that picture? Face to face in that new nature, which is in you complete already. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Colossians 3. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, most Christians would think from their teachings that they got from the carnal church that the above emotions, seeking those things above, are love, emotion of love and joy, being nice to my neighbor. The emotions below are anger and jealousy and envy. But no, seeking those things are above, which is where Christ is from, means seeking emotions that originate from heaven, seeking thoughts that originate from heaven. That's available with your inner man because now it's born again. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So it's a comparison of spiritual and natural, inner man and outer man. And you died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's an indicator, just like what we read, that when I was able to mature, I can see face to face, I can see who I already was. Well, you're going to find out the day you stand before God that your inner man is already righteous and holy, just like Jesus. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. This is all the emotions, thoughts, ambitions of your outward man. Put to death the deeds of your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passionate, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. Talking about the outward body, the outward mind, emotions, the outward soul. And have put on the new man. This is your inner man. The new man is the inner man, which is where the new nature lives. And you put on the new man, meaning I'm now beginning to develop the fruit of love and joy and peace. That nature is beginning to come forward in my inner man. That's why I put on the new man. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So renewal of knowledge is in the inner man, not the outward mind. It's in the spiritual mind. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So where do we find that image? In your new nature. And so I'm able to put on, where do I find a picture? Alan, I would like to have a picture of the love of Christ. Where do I find that picture? It's in your inner man. It's already there. A perfect picture of Jesus and all of his love, joy, peace, all of his wisdom, his maturity, his holiness. It's already in you, but it's in you in a seed form. And if you don't give it the nutrients it needs, it cannot build that image in your inner man. I want to go on, but we don't have time. I want to go on to the rest of this chapter, because you'll see the fruit of the Spirit picture here. You'll see the fruit of love. It's all in here. But I'm going to give one more verse in Romans chapter 8. And this will help with the rest of this series to understand the difference between conforming and transformation. Okay? Transformation means like a caterpillar has to be in a cocoon to be transformed into a butterfly. So caterpillar cannot just say I'm a butterfly. A caterpillar has to transform. But conforming means I can instantly conform and make it happen. And I was confused for a long time because I seen that word conformed in Romans 8 for this picture. In Romans 12, it talks about transformation. But in Romans 8, it says conformed. And here's the verse, Romans 8, verse 26. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so that bothered me for a long time. And it actually made that one verse made me not teach about transformation for a long time, for a number of years, until I can really understand what he was saying, because maybe I got it wrong, or maybe I'm misunderstanding what he's saying, because he tells us to transform, but then here he says to conform. Well, finally I seen it. In this picture, he's talking about, in Romans 8, he's talking about how we as a church have to deal with our outward body, and to we're supposed to mortify the deeds of the outward man. That's the suffering he talks about in Romans 8. But here he's giving an explanation of how God dealt with the saints, or the people of this earth who qualified for heaven before Jesus came. So all the Old Testament saints before Noah, all the Old Testament saints before Abraham, and all the Old Testament saints before Moses, and all the Old Testament saints before Jesus could come, if they qualified for heaven, and there were billions of people that qualified for heaven, what was God going to do with them? Because they couldn't go to heaven because they were not born again, because Jesus had not come. Well, this tells us what God did. Paul is simply saying in this picture, Romans 8 and 9 is talking about even the millennium and the Jewish people. And it's amazing, amazing few chapters of the history of God's plan for all of mankind to make it to heaven if they chose. And so he uses this word that those whom, verse 29, he foreknew. So that is everyone in Abraham's bosom, everyone in paradise waiting for Jesus to come. Wasn't just the qualified Jewish people. It was full of Gentiles and people from all dispensations. All of them qualified for heaven and were waiting for Jesus to come. And what did Jesus do? He got them born again. Remember in Peter, he says he preached to those in hell. Well, he wasn't preaching to those who were going to be in hell forever, going, ha, 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 suckers, you should have listened, and now you're going to burn forever. Ha, ha, ha. No, he wasn't torturing them. He was preaching salvation to Abraham and to Noah and all the Gentiles who got saved in all the history of those 4,000 years. He was preaching to them. Now your time has come. You can now be born of God. And he gave them the new nature. They got born again in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, received the image. And the conforming is talking about their outward man. They instantly already received their new outward body, their eternal body they received then. We don't receive ours until the trumpet sounds. So we have to wrestle with this outward body. We have to mortify the deeds of the outward body. We have to wrestle with it and transform out of it to live out of the inner man. We have to do all that. That's Romans 8. But the saints before us, before Jesus, they already received their new outward body. They were instantly conformed, received that new outward body. You don't get that luxury. You and I have to transform out of the outward man into the inner man. So I hope I preached a lot today. It's some difficult imagery. But the word image, when you see it in the New Testament, most of the time is talking about that image of Christ that's in your new nature, that's in your inner man. And that's what wants to come in form inside of your inner man, so you can transform into that life instead of living in the life of your outward man. Too many Christians have learning from the carnal Christianity. They'll still get to heaven, praise God, but they've learned how to walk with God, know God, experience God, hear God, serve God through their outward carnal man. God wants us to develop the inner man so we can hear God, think, feel, know, listen from the inner man. And that's transformation. That I have the ability to walk like Christ from my inner man, which is born from the nature of God, but it must grow and mature. Amen. I hope I've added a little bit to you. Thank you again for spending time with me, and I'll see you again soon. God bless.